Why can't everything be like Star Trek and make sense?
Welcome back to Dice and Salt.
I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
And we're here for episode 168, Witchy Ritual.
I like witchy stuff. And
this is inspired incompetence, folks, where the jiggle physics don't quit.
I mean, I jiggle.
The jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
Places I would prefer not to jiggle, but in places I do. That's a dumb joke.
So you backed me right into a corner there, because all I was going to say is, I like to watch jiggle, and then I thought, oh, that's not going to play well.
Well, now I can.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right into the dumpster fire.
Yeah, we're back where we belong. Well, I guess we get right into it.
We do. We get right back into it, which is finishing up with the foraging.
Right.
And then Matt goes into a breakdown of his new character.
Yeah. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. I got his PC races Shopty, but I couldn't for the life of me spell it.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell it either. It's, I don't know. Could not tell you. But yeah, I do like the gloom blade, you know, just, I can make a plane or a weapon out of shadows.
Yes. I liked how Alex, after he's explaining, oh, I need reach. I got this. I need this. I got that. And Alex was like, well, I could see if you were on a plane that didn't border the plane of shadow, I might diminish the power of your gloom bladiness. And I'm like, really? You're already plotting on how to kill this guy?
He's always plotting how to kill Matt now.
Plus, I'm like, so let's say you're adjacent to the shadow plane, but the evil bad guy, Tar Baphon, throws you in a room that gives you daylight in every direction, so there's no shadow. Well, then, does your Gloomblade work?
I'm sure it does.
Alex? I don't know. I was expecting maybe something like that, because there's at least one of those that's like, if you're in a room without shadows, or a place without shadows, you can't use... There's like a shadow jump that I think a Shadow Mastiff has, and there's some other abilities to describe that. And I was like, well, I could follow if you were going to do that. You know, you were going to play it like that, because you have to have some shadow to pull shadows from. But no, he goes to, if you're in a plane that's not adjacent to the plane. And I was like, oh my gosh.
It's like, does...
He's going to hate me for this, but I was like, nerd.
I mean, do planes that don't border the shadow plane just not have shadows?
No. They still have shadows.
Are they weak shadows?
Fight one there and die and tell me. No, I think that there's plenty of planes that don't border the shadow plane and then have, at least to the best of my knowledge, and have shadows of regular strength and behaviors.
Right.
Physics. Their shadow physics is very jiggly. I had to go back.
Yeah, no, you're good.
And then it's back to rocking the hammer rock.
Yeah, which I liked. That was fun. And then we get a 9-hour ritual.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was so
fun. I mean, very, very descriptive, and I get it. It's more of a, you know, there's nothing to mess with your ritual, and, you know, this has got to happen. You've got to invest this time, so I get it being a narrative.
Right.
And it was cool how he interpreted the ley lines to be like tangles of string that are so delicate you can snap them and then they just sort of melt away in your hands and then reform back into the tangled knot.
Right.
Although I kept thinking of, okay, hang on. Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Pretty Good.
Knot.
You mean the Gordian knot?
The Gordian knot. I kept thinking of the Gordian knot. Which, of course, was the solution is just slice that sucker in half, you know, just cut right through that sucker and it's untied. And I was like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
which, of course, wasn't going to be right for the ley lines. I knew that in the description, but I kept thinking, just cut through this shit. Then go back to connected somehow.
Yes. After you destroy magic.
Briefly, for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Just it means Tarbaphon can't use it.
Fair enough, I guess.
Or Radiant Fire, for that matter, because part of it is magic.
Magic.
Not just positive energy, but magic.
Yeah.
And then I loved how the dragons got taken over by Alex, and then were just giant pricks.
Oh, well, they were like that before, though.
Yeah, they were kind of mild pricks. I mean, my impression from Matt and Alex is they were like mild pricks. Alex like took them and dialed them up.
Mm.
I think he broke the dial on his amp. So it spins way past 11 now.
He took it to 12.
But our amps go up to 11. Still haven't seen that movie. Gotta watch that movie.
I still haven't seen it either. I know the reference. I've seen the scene where the reference comes from. Haven't seen the whole movie.
Oh my goodness.
But I did like that they made the shit. They knew he was doing it wrong despite the fact that they... They knew
hadn't
the drag-
paid any attention to what they were doing
right
in the first place.
Yeah. The ritual wasn't explained to them, but, oh, you're doing it wrong. Okay.
It looks like you're doing it wrong. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, since it was a collar around the cat's neck, that's a collar, not a belt. So I don't understand Orion's belt. Sorry. I was flashing back. It was a PTSD moment.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Oh. God.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell the story. Screw it. So I go to see Men in Black,
mm-hmm.
but I'm seeing it as a work in progress. So I don't even know what the movie is when I'm standing in line and all this crap to get in. And then when I get in, before they show it, they say, hey, this is a work in progress. Some scenes will not be completed. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means, right? And
yeah, just they don't have the visual effects.
They don't have visual effects. In one case, they just had a drawing for a scene. I swear to God, it was like a white.
They had a storyboard.
Yes, exactly. But like worse, it wasn't even a fancy storyboard. Like, you know, sometimes you see these sort of fanciest storyboards where they put in a little color and the characters have a little, you know, feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, this was just like the shittiest, almost stick figure drawing. Okay, it was bad. But the point is, they were testing it to see some stuff. While I was there. In line waiting to get in to see it way before anyone else got to see Men in Black. I watch this guy casing the crowd and I'm watching him and he turns over and he sees me watching him and I'm like, oh, how's this going to go? And then he comes over and goes, hey, you want to be part of this focus group? So I say, okay, sure. Yeah. And he goes, well, they'll pay you $10. Okay, great. And they call us down everyone who's in the focus group stays as the credits roll and they run it. They get everybody out and we stay. And then they call us down, you know, it's your standard sloped theater, right? And they call us down to the bottom towards the screen and they have some people talking. And I swear to God, there was some guy in there and every fucking thing that was said, well, I don't understand. Why can't it be like Star Trek and make sense? Every single thing. And I finally just, I lost my shit, Toast. I lost my shit. And I said, God damn it. I said, it's not Star Trek. They explain it. The guy says it's a noisy cricket. He pulls the trigger on the noisy cricket. It throws the guy back. It's contained in the movie. You know then that the noisy cricket is a goddamn monster weapon. Right. And the other weapon isn't as tough. I mean, it's all in there. It's self-contained. They give you the explanations. And the times they don't, like a few minutes later, you get the explanation.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, you know, ready to fight and kill.
Over a movie.
And I'm looking around at everybody and I'm like, okay, maybe I lost my shit here. And then the guy goes, well, I just don't understand. That's why it can't be like Star Trek and make sense. And I go, ah, you know, I've lost my, I'm totally there. So I turn back because I'm like, I got to look somewhere else. So I turn back and I notice, hey, there's some people back there watching us. So we get to the end of the focus group and I grab the gal who's running. And I said, I don't know how you did this. Or I said, hey, I saw some people up there. Is that the director and the producer and stuff? Or is that the producer and, you know, whatever? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, can I talk to them?
Hmm.
Because I'm afraid if you listen to this focus group, you're going to ruin a good movie. And then I actually get introduced to Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed Men in Black.
Nice.
And directed some other things. And I said to him, I got my buddy with me and I said, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know how you managed to do it, but you got like the dumbest focus group in Sacramento. I said, please, God, do not change Orion's belt. and Orion's belt in the movie, if you've seen it.
Spoiler
it's
alert.
It's the collar on the cat.
Spoiler alert. Aw.
Yeah, yeah, from a movie that's, what, 30 years old, 20 years old?
Let's see. That
let's
is
look
a,
it up. Oh, I mean, God. It makes the rant so much better as I'm blowing minutes and minutes on this story.
1997.
There you go.
Oh, this movie's almost as old as I am.
There you go. And, you know, I was like, I started thinking about Orion, you know, that the fact that it was an alien and what an alien calls a belt might be different from, you know, what a belt really is. And then they flash to the wall of cats in the store, you know, and I was like, okay, it's, you know, so I was making the connection like maybe a split second faster than the movie was showing me, but it was still at the right pace.
Mm-hmm.
So that I arrive there when they do the reveal and I'm like, I'm not surprised, but you know, you could follow, you know, this wasn't like, well, I don't understand how we got to Orion's belt.
Right. The and, constellation, you know, is called Orion's belt.
Right. Or the, it's a cat. That's a collar. Why would he call it a belt? So anyway,
you
there we go. Sorry about that, folks.
Motherfucker.
Oh, you have no idea. I went completely intolerant on my fellow human beings there and begged Barry Sonnenfeld not to change it because it did make total and complete sense.
Right.
And he got, it was funny. He was pissed off too. He goes, I know, right? And I'm like, no, you're right. It's right. It's good. Shit.
Good.
So anyway, sorry about that.
So just for reference, if anyone out there has a problem with the movie Men in Black and thinks it should be like Star Trek, blame Richter.
Oh, God. Do not blame me. But feel free to tell me, because that's what Toast is trying to get you to do.
Feel free to come into chat and just start, you know, there's a whole
Why
channel
Why can't everything be like Star Trek and make sense? How come Pathfinder's not like Star Trek?
How come The Next Generation isn't like the original series?
Yeah. Yeah. Why doesn't it make sense?
There shouldn't be a Klingon on the bridge. They're fighting.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Anyway, they finished the ritual, which makes sense.
They finished the ritual, which is what we were describing there metaphorically.
Sure. I mean, yes. But, yeah, they finished this. The dragons get all... I guess they're fine when they leave. They get a little snippy, and then they're
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they do. They get a little snippy,
like,
and they're a little...
This is the one thing that we thought we could help mortals with, and you're just going to be all blah, blah, blah. You're doing
we
it
We don't
wrong.
Need your help, Mr. Dragon Person.
It's like, yeah, well, who's got the tiny little nimble fingers? Us.
Who's got two opposable thumbs and small hands? These guys!
And that guy over there with a necklace of thumbs.
Yeah.
I've been playing Fallout recently. That's where it came from.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so they finish that, and then, like, immediately the moment the dragons are gone, there's a ghost. Because of course there is.
Right. Only this turns out to be a cooperative ghost.
It is.
Friendly ghost?
A friendly ghost. It's Casper.
It's Casper. Casper. I was trying not to say Casper the friendly ghost, but you know, whatever.
I did. I
you did.
Look, I'm here for the C word.
That's
Casper.
Right. Oh, damn it. I thought it was cauliflower. That's another, you know, white C word.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But he directs them to the gatehouse, which for some reason they have to go see him there, despite the fact that he came to them. He's like, which I always thought was interesting, right? He's like, I came all this way to talk to you. Please follow me to this one place way down at the bottom of the castle so we can talk. Like, okay.
Yeah, I just assumed that was a little deus ex machina. You know, that's the universe making him go the way it wanted.
I guess so. It puts him in the place that they need to be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, they got through the ritual, which apparently was a side quest to disable the Witch Gate.
Right, but you do side quests and things like this.
Right, you do side quests and things like this. And but here's where we get the real meat.
Mm-hmm.
Of Hammer Rock.
In a ghost.
We get the reason why this rock
ghost meat
is hammering everybody around it.
It's a factory.
It is a factory.
It's an undead factory.
Fallow Deep.
Yep.
Which there's Fallow Deep. Well, see, now here's where I get a little, here's where I'm a little confused on a few of the details.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fallow Deep, he says, is an enormous storage facility and it has tens of thousands of undead. But then there's like three different factories.
Different that types.
Produce different types of undead.
I assume zombies, ghouls, you know, different like subclasses. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm sure they're all immediately transported out.
Yeah, something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously going right to Absalon.
Yeah, but this place is run by the foreman. I mean, sorry, the four men.
The four, the three foremen.
The three foremen, of which we know one of them. We do know all of them?
Well, Linthari is one. This is Arginus's old gal pal.
Right, I missed that. But, I mean, I got the Cito. Name, but I didn't realize, yeah. That was the one I was referring to, Cito.
Cito Maldera. She's a grave knight now.
That'll be fun.
And Gildaeus. Of course, this is a guess by Matt because he's the only Winterwhite they know.
Right. But it's a good guess, though.
He goes a little meta to explain it in that it's the Winterwhite in the whole AP. It's got to be Gildaeus, right?
Yeah.
And the ghost says that the Winterwhite came up and said, I'm happy to see you're in control of yourself after he'd been taken control of by one of the foremen.
Yeah.
So we get kind of a breakdown and it's like, oh, this is cool. So, I mean, maybe Gildaeus will turn out to be some sort of an ally and help everybody out. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm liking, if he does, I'm liking that there is an undead whose kind of driving purpose is to stop undead from taking over the world.
Didn't he help Tarbethon escape?
He did too. So he's kind of, I mean, I'm not saying overall he's like the best undead ever.
No, once again, you know, that's Casper.
That's right. He's clearly not one of those elf liches in the Forgotten Realms. I can't remember what the hell the name of those things are, but they're wizards that become liches, but they're all good. They're good aligned and they're, you know, undead.
Hmm.
But he's not one of those. Clearly not one of those setups. But I just like the idea that there's an undead that's, you know, working maybe against the world being taken over by undead, that kind of thing. I find that like interesting and intriguing. Like, you know, I'm so against undead and then I got turned into one, but I'm going to kill all the undead. And you're like, you know, you're one of them. I know, but I'll take myself out last. I don't know, something like that.
Right.
It's opening some entertaining thoughts. I don't know that Gildaeus will be any of those things, by the way. I suspect he'll just be kind of a whiny little turd and we'll wish he was a bad enough bad guy that we killed him, I think. But
I'm sure we'll end up killing him anyway. You know this party.
Yeah, I know. We only had one character that was really, you know, good about taking out those undead.
Yeah.
And he retired.
Yeah.
Although, so I did sleepy. Notice that Reed Reaper has an incentive to shut down undead.
I mean, he's from the Boneyard, so... And he's
right.
Kind of
well, the Dead Roads, yeah. And the,
well, yeah.
Pharasma's, yep.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. And now I kind of am like, now I know why the map for this place is so damn big. Because you're going to have to take out, you know, three different factories and, you know, it's big, big war campaign here. I got it.
If,
I get it.
If you thought that Gallowspire took a year and that was a long time, get ready for Gallowspire times 3. So we'll get the retrospective sometime in summer of 2027.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So what do you call this podcast? Hammering the Rock? I mean, Inspired Incompetence.
Yep.
It's good stuff. But, and then I loved the chest.
Oh yeah, because they go back to Dondon because they need to remove the. We didn't really.
Well, they want to remove the permanent negative levels. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't mention it, but they got backlash from the ritual. They're all.
Yeah, I don't remember that being a requirement of occult rituals, but the occult rituals that I am familiar with in Pathfinder First Edition are from Strange Eons. This is Tyrant's Grasp, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's very possible this could be a requirement of it. I don't remember the ones in. Strange Eons having that, so I don't know. But it's still cool, and everything else about the occult ritual with secondary casters and all that stuff was all... I was all over that. I was like, yeah, I know that.
Nope, it's a thing. It's right there in the rules. I looked it up on archives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It says, while anyone can attempt to cast cult rituals, the process is fraught with peril. Strange and intricate incantations are often challenged to perform with precision, and failure can weaken the casters or even unleash horrors upon the world. And even when successfully performed, each occult ritual has a price. Yep.
Well, all I know is we're not paying a price. We haven't paid a price yet for the occult rituals we've used. In fact, I will go look.
There's a shit ton of these rituals. Good God.
Oh, yeah, they got a bunch.
Oh, hey, I found it. Untangle ley lines.
Oh, nice.
Ninth level. 9 hours. Good God. I'll probably cut this bit out because I'm, you know, going into things that...
Nobody knows?
Yeah, nobody knows. But so for you and me, I guess.
5 minutes later.
We can cut all that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Portion of it, especially where it's that I'm unfamiliar, that you can just knock that out.
That's fine.
Let's see.
Dondon.
Let me see what else we have.
Dondon. The treasure. And his...
And the case what of... is the name of that chest? Something chest. Secure chest?
I don't know. I didn't realize it had a name.
Yeah, well, it's a spell.
Oh, okay.
Chest. Let me see if I can find it.
I did like how they kept changing the range for the dice for what it would roll.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Secret Chest is the name of the spell, I believe.
Ooh.
And the reason that I picked up on that, you make a tiny replica so that the miniature of the chest appears to be a perfect copy. The chests are non-magical and so on. To hide it, you cast a spell while touching the chest and the replica. It vanishes. You need the replica to recall. After 60 days, there's a cumulative chance that the chest is irretrievably lost. If the miniature chest is lost or destroyed, there's no way, even with a wish, that the large chest can be summoned back. Although you can go onto the ethereal plane and go find it.
Mm.
So, yeah. So it's the duration is 60 days or until discharge, basically until you call it back. But I think they might also have a magic item that plays off of that as well. So let me look at that real quick. Yeah, I think it's a spell is what's going on as he's got cast. And he can recast it like every day. So once he hides it and then recalls it, he can cast it again and hide it again.
Mm-hmm.
No. And there was, there is a magic item that does that too, but I'd have to go looking harder for it because I did something with it to do that. Cause I, at one point had created a tattoo so I could touch, I had a tattoo of a ring on my hand or of a key on my hand. And I touched it to a tattoo of a chest on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, it would bring a big chest back for me.
Nice.
So I made it a magic item. And so, and it was based, there was something it was based on. So
that's cool though.
Let's see. You were talking about the ranges.
Yeah.
My party does this sometimes.
I find
my table.
I find it amusing to an extent.
Yeah. We never let them get away with it. I mean, if you want to pick a different range of 20, we'll let you do it. But if you pick something like, okay, I want all the even numbers from here to here. We're like, no, you know, that we kill. But if you said, the first one is like, 1 to 20 and you wanted 21 to 40,
mm-hmm.
we do that. But it's usually, we usually stick with standards other than we'll go high or low. Well, that's usually a thing.
Right.
If it's not easy, forget it. We're not doing it.
Yeah. It's like, I want all even numbers on a 50-50 roll.
50-50. Well, that we would allow. That's odd even. That's no problem. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, okay, I want the first 10 odd numbers, the first 15 even numbers, and then I want the last. And you're like, no. We're done.
You auto fail. The dice don't know what you want.
Nobody knows what you're doing. And then, they did get the diamond dust.
They did actually get it. It took 3 tries and then it falls out of Dondon's sleeve.
Yeah, on the wild stupid range. I don't know why that was allowed, but on one of the wild ranges. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I assume they're going to use that. They didn't do that this.
Yeah. I assume they'll do it next week before they go visit
the priestess.
Aluna.
Yeah. Sorry. For some reason I was losing her name.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I mean, it was a fun episode. It was, getting all the information so we finally know what the hell we're doing.
Yep. It was a big, I don't want to call it a plot episode, but exposition episode, right?
Yep.
Which is good. We needed it because now we have a whole lot more information and we're like,
Now we kind of know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
And we can teleport in and out.
Yep.
So this way, if someone goes down, we can teleport out and maybe save them. Unless it's a death effect.
Yeah.
Well, we can save Reed Reaper. I guess that's the important thing. We can save Reed Reaper. No one else will be saved, but we can save Reed Reaper.
We can. We have the technology.
We have made him better, faster, stronger.
Sorry. All I can think of at that point is Daft Punk, but I know it's a much older TV show reference.
Yes. Yes. The $6 million man. It was actually, I bring this up because I do that and you say it's much older. It's so old that they showed an atomic explosion from a terrorist something or other that went off,
mm-hmm.
you know, that got set off prematurely. So it saved, you know, it saved the world. And my daughter's watching some of these episodes with me, and I'm watching them because, you know, I watched the show when I was a little kid in reruns. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, let's dig into this a little bit. Let's see what's there. I mean, I only caught some of the stuff, right? So I didn't know some of the neat lore. And so I see this thing go off, and my daughter's watching with me, and she goes, what the hell? That's going to cause this, this, and this, and this, and this. You know, all the stuff, all the shit we know it does now. And I go, okay, hang on.
They didn't.
This was done in the early 60s.
Where radiation was a good thing.
They didn't know. They didn't understand. You know, the bombs weren't as big as they are now.
Nope.
You know, so it was a different deal. And, you know, the government hadn't released a lot of the information on how these things worked, how devastating they were.
Yep.
So that's funny to me to reference that. And then it's like, it's so old. We thought radiation was no big deal. It doesn't go into the planet's atmosphere and cause a nuclear winter that just fucks everybody. It's only a localized fucking. Sorry. And you said you were dealing with fallout. And all I could think, I've been trying to explain to people that, hey, part of the fallout appeal is you're looking at atomic, the nuclear war through the eyes of 1950s folks. They believe that radiation wasn't going to last long, or it was, you know, this is how you beat it, or, you know, this is a global extinction event, folks. We do this, we're done. You know, forget it, we're done. And that's just not, you know, that's not how it was seen back then. So you're still laughing, huh?
I'm still laughing. I can't get over local fucking.
Localized fucking.
Just take us out. I'm goddamn, I'm useless.
Well, and there you have it, folks. Just remember, you want a cripple toast, you give her a localized fucking. Oh, shit. Okay. On that note, that does it for us this week. You can find us and the players on the Inspired Incompetence Discord. Links can be found at inspiredincompetence.com. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. I have a chest in my chest.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I have a West Coast Customs chest.
That's right.
It has spinners.
And no, those aren't pasties.